This afternoon's call is now being recorded.
Thank you, and welcome everyone to today's HSTLD Advisory Group call. And as usual, we'll start with an acknowledgement of the folks that are on the line. And we have Michael Pelage, Mikey O'Connor, John McElwain, Lynn Goodendorf, and myself, Craig Schwartz. And with that, I will turn the floor over to Michael Pelage.
Thank you, Craig. What we're going to do today is we're going to start with the version 2.1 document that I sent out after last week's call. And even though I think we got to page 3 or 4, I think we were at page 4, I think, last week, what we're going to do is we're going to just briefly go to the top of the document and go through and look at some of the proposed edits that staff have recommended. See if we either incorporate them or not. So, again, as Craig said, he sent out a document 9:30, this 9:23 or 9:26 this morning. If you could, everyone could pull that document and have it available to them, it will probably make our discussions go a lot easier. So, starting at the top, on top of page one, top level, to be consistent with the information presented in the document. I have no problem with the proposed, I have no problem with that change, and I do think it's important to make it consistent. So I would agree with that comment one by Craig. CS2? I guess what I was looking for, I guess the thing there was perhaps it's an association. Let's just suppose we get something back, not from necessarily a company, but perhaps an association, a coalition, whether that's incorporated or not. Again, what I was just doing there, Craig, is this was copied from the UNICEF RFI.
Then let's not spend a lot of time on it. Then that's fine.
Yeah, that was – so there was no thought process in Pelage. I was just artistically borrowing from the UN.
Got it.
Let's see. So we made those changes. Now who's the yellow? Francisco. Okay, so the first substantive change we have is on page 2, section 1.1, the second paragraph. Oh, yeah, I spelled it wrong. Thank you, Francisco, for that change. Nothing there. We now go on to page 3. Craig, you have a comment here, either capitalized or not. We should be consistent. Totally agree. Should we just capitalize registry operator? Is registry operator capitalized in the DAG?
I'd have to look. If you want to keep talking, I'll find that out.
All right, thanks. And what the group will decide is if it appears capitalized in the DAG, we will make the RFI consistent. As such, your next comment, Craig, in the next paragraph is either capitalized. Okay, it's the same comment again. Now, the last paragraph in section one, we have comments KL.
That's Karen Lentz.
Karen and from Francisco. So let me read to everyone the proposed changes, and then we can discuss. The HSTLD designation is intended to mitigate certain malicious and criminal activities that are inside the sphere of influence of the TLD registry operator. For example, the HSTLD program cannot prevent the use of obfuscated URLs and phishing emails. Additional measures will still be needed to combat these and other tactics commonly employed by attackers. Francisco wanted to qualify the tactics. By qualifying the tactics as social engineering, it may be perceived only as a type of attack. I do not disagree with that. I have no objections. And then Karen's comments there is, I don't see the point of this paragraph. If it's just to say that the HSTLD program cannot address all malicious conduct problems, only those relevant, couldn't this just be a sentence under scope below? Mikey and Lynn, I think you both talked this. I think this is one of the things we talked about last week. Mikey, I think you particularly were vocal on the limitations of what we can do. Can you perhaps opine on this, take the lead on that for the group, on your take of these proposed edits?
Yeah, but I was multitasking. I was sort of take a look at it. Hang on.
Lynn?
Hey, Mike, Michael, just so you know, Dave Piscitello and Brian Cute have joined the call.
Welcome, gentlemen. Brian, Dave.
Hi, Michael. Hi, everybody.
Both of you gentlemen were going through the document version 2.1 that Craig forwarded to the group approximately 9:30 this morning. Should be in your inbox. We are now on the paragraph right before section 2. So that's page 3, and that's where we're at, and we're plowing forward. So Lynn, did you want to perhaps comment on this limitation? Because I know you've discussed before that this is not a cure-all, and we want to try to communicate the limitations of this program.
Mike, this is Mikey. While Lynn is probably doing the same thing I was doing, I think that one of the things that change does is it pretty dramatically reduces the scope to just the TLD registry operator. I'm not sure that that's what we want to do. I'm sort of channeling. I just blanked on his name. From ALAC. I'm pretty sure that
Evan Lee.
I would think that Evan would be going, wait a minute, we're not talking just about registry operators here. We're talking about registry operators, registrars, sometimes even registrants. And so that blue addition, the second clause of the first sentence, seems like a pretty dramatic narrowing of the scope. At the same time, I'd still like the paragraph because I think we do want to communicate the limitations of what we're doing. I'm just not sure we want to limit it that severely.
Okay. I would tend to agree with you. I think all of our discussions to date, particularly those led
Hello.
By Evan. Hello, Lynn.
Hey, I'm sorry. My phone ran out of battery just as I was about to speak there.
Well, I will be quiet and let you speak on this issue. If you just heard Mikey, I think he was trying to articulate some of the concerns that Evan might have based upon his prior contribution. So if you could perhaps voice your points on this issue, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, this is the paragraph that says the designation is intended to mitigate certain malicious and criminal
Correct.
Activities. Yeah. I think that I'm satisfied that it's not implying or representing that that this type of designation would represent some kind of total security, but it seems a little bit indirect to me, just the way it's worded.
All right. I appreciate that. I mean, so I think Mikey was basically proposing striking the text because he thought it was overly restrictive. I guess my question is, would you agree or disagree? Would you propose striking it or leaving it in?
I would say leave it in, but, you know, the main point that I wanted us to capture was that this designation does not represent a guarantee of complete security, or I think we had used the word zero risk. And, you know, I can appreciate that mitigate, you know, does mean that you reduce rather than eliminate. I'm just thinking out loud here. I just like it to be a little more clear.
All right. So, Brian, is that you?
Yeah. Could I jump in?
Yeah, please. I was going to call on you, and John, just to give you a heads up, I'm going to call on you next. So, Brian, go.
Okay, thanks. And yeah, I agree, Karen, with your particular concerns. I'm just reading the comments for the first time. So my impression is, in terms of the structure of this, it seems appropriately structured in that, you know, what we're trying to say is there is a defined sphere of influence for the registry operator. We don't want to make promises or warranties beyond what the registry can actually accomplish. And that the second sentence, you know, identifying that here's a specific example of something that is beyond, is fine. But at some point in time, we're going to have to define that universe of what's within the scope of what a registry operator can do and what's, you know, in parallel within the scope of ICANN's realm, if you will. This phrase, additional measures will still be needed to combat these and other tactics, is a bit vague. I mean, additional measures and deployed by whom is a hanging question, the way that sentence is constructed. I'm just giving you reactions here. Those are my reactions.
I know. Much appreciated. John, your 2 cents on this issue?
I think as articulated before, the sphere of influence of the TLD registry operator, I did have some issues with that in that I think it does. It's interesting. It can be interpreted both ways. It sort of narrows the scope, yet it also implies that a registry operator has influence over malicious and criminal activities. So I just think that that could come out. With that out, I mean, I understand that the purpose of this is just to make sure that respondents know that we're not asking them to verify or guarantee that a certification or a verification means that there'll be zero malicious and criminal activities. So I'm okay with the paragraph in and of itself, but would remove the sphere of influence part.
Okay, so we have Mikey that is proposing to remove it. John, I think you're proposing to remove that proposed change. If I had a way in, I do think I would probably agree with Mike and John on this, that I would propose removing it as well. And again, I think the purpose of this is we just want to solicit input. So right now, I guess it's, what, 3-1-1 on this. Let's not spend any more time on this. We'll send it out to the list. But, I mean, right now, I think, I don't want to say, there appears
Michael?
To be a slight majority leaning towards
Michael?
Removing it, the language. Yeah, Brian.
Yeah, you know what? Now that I read that after the last comment where it says certain malicious and criminal activities that are inside the sphere, I'm even more troubled. Unless those were to be explicitly identified and all vagueness removed, that does trouble me now on second pass. I would be leaning toward that either has to be really cured in an explicit way or get rid of the paragraph altogether.
All right. So, again, what happens here is instead of just I think we know what – I would say right now we're leaning towards removing the proposed text by Karen and, again, just throwing out the biggest net possible as far as this RFI. But
is the question the example sentence, is that what we're talking about removing, or is it the first
no,
sentence?
No, no. It's the text that has been added by ICANN, which is after the word activities that are inside the sphere of influence of the TLD registry operator. So right now what we're doing is so, and I think this goes to Mikey's original point. Remember how Evan was saying that some there may be some models where you may want to perhaps have an accreditation of the registrar or some type of end user certification or representation with a seal at the end website, like a much, shall we say, broader net. That's something that has been advocated previously in our discussions by Evan, I think on behalf of the ALAC community, or at least that's what I think he was trying to articulate those concerns on. And what we potentially do here with this, including the wording as proposed by staff, is we might be overly restrictive in the scope of the program. So let's throw out the bigger net, and if we find out we need to narrow it, let's narrow it at a later date. That's where I'm kind of leaning towards right now. But in the interest of time, I want to just this will just be a quick thumbs up or thumbs down vote next week. I just don't want to really waste that much more time on it right now. I want to try to get through the rest of the document. So there we go. So what happens is now we go through, and Craig, you had just gotten back to me. You said that registry operator is capitalized in the agreement and it is not capitalized in the DAG. What do you recommend? Follow the DAG, probably? That's the document most people are going to be.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
All right, we will follow the DAG and we will uncapitalize. We now have considerations. We are now in Section 2. We are making some changes for consistency purposes, which I have no problem with, is accordingly sized. So Karen wrote the comment, does this mean it does not have a global footprint? Dave, that was your original text, I think, from your original draft. Do you understand Karen's question, or could we perhaps clarify it to address the ambiguity, or you think it already is sufficiently self-explanatory? So this is the third paragraph in Section 2, the very last sentence, where it says, other TLDs may only contain several thousands of domain names, and the DNS infrastructure is accordingly sized.
Well, I think that it may or may not have a global footprint. That would actually have a lot to do with the registry operator and the cost of maintaining mirror sites on a global basis, for the purpose of a relatively small population, wouldn't it?
I'm agreeing with you, Dave. I think you, again, if you're dealing with a TLD for a particular local indigenous tribe in the sub-Sahara African region, is it really incumbent upon them to have, mirror data servers in the United States, the UK, Hong Kong, et cetera? If that's obviously they have to have some type of global resolution, but I do think their global footprint would potentially that would be a scaling factor. So I'm agreeing with you. I think that was appropriate worded phrase. So if I can, Mikey, are you in agreement with Dave, or are you in agreement with Karen?
I think Karen doesn't get it. I'm with Dave. I mean, you can have a teeny tiny little TLD that's global. I don't think they're connected.
Okay, excellent. Lynn? Lynn may be on mute. John?
No, dead battery.
Yeah, she's on mute right now.
John, do you want to? Are you in agreement with the rest of us?
Yeah, I am.
Excellent. Brian? All right.
On mute, in agreement.
In agreement. All right. So what happens is, Dave, we're going to agree with ICANN's staff. There you go. How do you like that? We'll agree with ICANN Dave's staff on this one, that the original wording, I think, is appropriate. So we'll leave that. Going down into the next paragraph, paragraph four, I guess Francisco has added a parenthetical, also called domain for short. That's fine. I don't think that's a problem. We now go on to, we're now on page four of the document. Like registries, registrars vary in size. Some registrars sponsored have the, well, others have. I think it should be registries. I don't know why he changed registries to registrars.
This is Mikey.
It should be thousands because there's upwards of there's yeah. So what happens here is I actually disagree with the changes Francisco made here because we're talking about registries that sponsor hundreds of domains, i.e. .museum, up to millions of domain names, the infos, orgs.
Oh no, actually, Mike, he's tagging off the first three words of the sentence. Like registries, registrars vary in size. Some registrars. So he's right. He's making the second sentence consistent with the first sentence, which is referring to registrars.
Okay, so Dave, I think that was part of your. This is again Dave's original text, I believe. So we're going to agree with ICANN staff. The question is, Francisco or Dave? Yeah. Like registries, some registrars sponsor hundreds of domain names and have dozens, whereas others have millions of domain names and millions of customers. So I think I'm going to agree with Francisco on this one. And Dave, would you agree with the proposed edits by your colleague from ICANN staff?
Yeah, that was a typo.
Okay, excellent. Great. So we're now plowing forward, given this landscape. Okay, so now we have Karen Lentz, KL8. She says, is it required to include all of these things? Respondents are asked to propose to potential implementation process and monitoring. Is it required to include all these things? Well, I mean, they're not required. We're asking we're not making it mandatory to ask every question. We're just asking for them to solicit information. And since this is only an RFI and not an RFP, I don't understand Karen's concern on comment KL8.
She could. This is Mikey. You could stick a parenthetical in that would solve her problem and say respondents are asked to propose a potential implementation process to determine through, and then parenthetically, for example, close parens, documentation review, interview, blah, 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 so that it makes it clear that these are just examples of things that could go into their methodology, but that they're not required. What she's saying is, are they required to describe all those things that we have put in there? And so,
okay, so what is your proposed? Tell me where you want to put it.
So I would put a parenthetical right after the word through.
Okay.
And say through, open paren, for example, close paren, documentation review. You know.
Okay, so
it's
through,
kind of
open
awkward.
Paren, for example, close paren, documentation review. I think that does it. I don't know if I agree with what you're trying to convey, whether that somehow complies with the Brown Rule Book of English.
Yeah,
I mean, but
it might be a little
for me.
Yeah.
So is John Lynn and Brian, any problems to that? The adding that parenthetical to address the concerns?
I think so. This is John. I think through just needs to be stricken. I think it just needs to say a potential implementation process to determine,
for example,
that the registry satisfies the
Okay. So here's to determine, for example, documentation review, interview, on-site analysis, and the registry. Okay, so we struck through and have replaced that with for example, and we've taken away the parens. Okay, I like that. I do think that's perhaps tighter. The little blue book. The lawyer with the blue book came through on that one for us. The assessment was also... Yeah, please do, Brian.
It's a slight tweak, but I think within that parens, for example, I think this is consistent with where Karen's going. Parens, for example, documentation review, comma, interview, comma, on-site or remote assessment analysis, comma, or monitoring. That really makes it a... You know, it could be any one of these things or all of these things, but it doesn't come across as it should be all of these things.
Okay, so what happens is, so I'm going to change the and to an or to make it non-exhaust. It's not mandatory to be all-inclusive. It's just a list. Okay, I've made those changes, and I will be sending, as with last week's call, as soon as we get off, I will save all the changes that we've agreed to and put out a cleaner document so that it makes it easier to track all of the changes. Designation. Certification is in particular a reference may be correct if it's the route the program goes. Well, but we've stayed away from the word certification. If we've stayed away from it because if we may go the way of certification or we may not, but we didn't want to use that term to bias it one way or the other. So I think, Craig, that is why we struck it.
We're not opposed to it.
You're good with that?
I actually struck it and just changed it to designation.
Okay. Did I originally have certification? Usually, I thought Lynn usually cracks her little ruler whenever I use the word certification. So,
all right, we're good on that one.
All right, good. Then we make those changes there. It's not so now we have Francisco. It is not clear what is meant here. I suppose this is about verifying registrar operations. And that's exactly right. That's potentially the scope that we may go through in Evan's comments about a much more expansive verification / certification program. Okay, so now I'm going to move on. Is there anyone else that has any comments? Brian, Mikey, Lynn, John?
Nope.
No comments? Okay, so there were some typos from the other ones. We're now at the bottom of page 4, and we're in criteria here. And Karen, again, says, so is there no possibility to take some of these suggestions as a baseline requirement? I don't think we're really talking about baseline requirements. We're still in the information gathering stage. That's my approach. What is she trying to get at, Dave?
I think that what she's saying is that the wording of the last sentence suggests that if a respondent were to suggest something that we had overlooked in the HSTLB program, the last sentence suggests that it would only be added as a value-added feature and not be added as one of the baseline criteria.
Thank you for that explanation. How would you propose tweaking that last sentence to address her concerns? Do we just strike value add?
I might say these might be added to the baseline criteria or may be considered value-added features that are above and beyond baseline expectations.
Okay. I'm going to strike the whole sentence, and I'm going to rewrite it as you're proposing. And it's these features
may be added to the baseline criteria.
Added to the baseline criteria.
And then, or they may be considered, and then you just follow the rest of the sentence. So what I just said would be interposed between the original these and the original may.
Okay, these features may be added. Well, I just struck the whole sentence. So these features may be added to the baseline criteria or may be considered
value-added
features
that are above and beyond baseline expectations.
Features that are above and beyond baseline. All right. Those changes have been made, and I have no problem with that proposed alternate wording. Mikey, any objections?
No, good here.
John?
Good.
Lynn? Brian?
Fine.
All right, excellent. So now we are on page 5. We are in the home stretch here. The goal, there was no changes to the goal or the proof of certification. We now get into sort of the meat of what we're looking at here, which are the questions. So, Mikey, I know you would propose 2 or 3 questions where there was an exchange between you and Brian. What I'd like to do is let's get through the first set of questions and then figure out where to potentially insert your contributions in this enumerated list here. So the very first question, which Karen has raised a question, should add something like, what is your experience with security mechanism controls or summer? What I'm proposing to do, let's just add Karen's question as a whole other question.
Right.
Because I think it's actually an excellent question. So let's just add it as its own separate question, because I do think we want to know someone's experience within ICANN. So question number two will read, what is your experience with security mechanisms, controls, auditing, or similar activities? I'm in agreement. So we've taken Karen's suggestion and added it as number 2. We now go to old number 2. I'm sorry. I'm going to now. How would you propose there was no – so let's just go through these questions. We're now on old 2, new number 3. How would you propose both point in time and periodic assessment of a TLD registry operator based on the HSTLD program requirements and assessment methods described in the reference concept paper could be conducted? Does that make English sense? Hold on. How would you propose? I'm sorry.
I think you could probably lose the could be conducted.
Could, yeah.
Again.
Just how would you propose? Yeah, all right. So in the paper, so we're tightening up English here. All right, so that is the proposed. Now we're going to the next question, which was old. That was old 3, new 4, I guess. How would you propose, I'm going to read it, how would you propose a potential implementation process to determine through documentation review, interview, and an on-site or remote assessment, analysis, and monitoring that the registry satisfies the business and operational criteria for high security zone verification?
Michael?
Yes, Brian.
Yeah, can we make the same edit that we made up above on the documentation review, interview, comma, on-site, dropping the and, or remote assessment analysis, or monitoring?
This is a straight lift of that sentence. So.
Yeah, so all I'm doing there is I'm replacing the and with an or, right? So
yeah,
instead of and on-site, it becomes an or on-site.
Or monitoring. too. There's two ands in there that, you know, you could change the last one to an or and just drop the first and.
Let's just change both of them. So the both, okay, I am in agreement with that. We're now going down to the next question here. Go ahead, Brian. You have the floor.
On the word at the end, verification, is everyone comfortable with that? Because we could change that to a high security zone TLD. I don't know if that's a controversial. I know certification was a little controversial. Is everyone comfortable with verification at the end there?
This is Mikey. I kind of like the TLD because we've already, you know, we're saying that the registry satisfies the criteria for
right.
security zone, and so verification isn't or certification isn't really right.
Yeah.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to strike the word verification and replace that with TLD. Correct?
Yeah.
All right. John, Lynn, any comments in favor, opposed?
Would it be for high security zone TLD or is as a
for a high security zone TLD?
I don't know if I agree with that.
Okay, let's talk
about
it.
Yeah, it could be as I see where you're going with that, John. So it could then be registry satisfies the business and operation criteria of a high security zone.
Yeah.
TLD. How about that?
That works.
Yeah.
All right. So how do you end operational criteria as a or for
of
what
a
would,
of a strike the word replace the word for with
of
the, with of a.
Of a high security zone TLD. Okay, those changes have been made. Craig, as you proposed that original edit, do you have any concerns regarding those proposed tweaks and edits?
I don't.
Excellent. Moving on to the next questionnaire. I'll read that real quickly. How would your assessment consider supporting registrar or reseller operations? Question mark. Section 3.2.1 of model four. Model for a high security zone verification program identifies the HSTLD program elements, objectives, and sample criteria for these assessments. I think that is fine and should make Evan a little happier as well. So is there any objections to the inclusion of the article the before model to make it read better and the question mark as proposed by Craig, which was also proper? No objections, so we now move on. I'll read the next question. What are the considerations in expanding verification beyond just registry operations to include registrar reseller and potential registrant operations from both an implementation and cost perspective? I think I have no problem with that. Anyone else?
Do we need to cite to the model again there?
So,
for instance, we don't really do. I mean, the verification concerning registrants is going to be, you know, obviously a knee jerk would be that is going to be cost prohibitive. But if all we're requiring is that they verify certain small and easily verifiable information, it wouldn't be so. Significant. I think we need to probably reference back to the model so they know what
okay.
we're talking about.
Should I just copy section 3.2.1 sample create? Should I just recopy that whole sentence and tack it on as a second sentence to this question? Is that what you're proposing, John?
What you may want to do, don't we break down the various sections as they apply to registrars, to resellers, and registrants? I'm trying to think if we do in the model, and in the model elements.
I think that's right.
You know, you could make a note and dig it out of the model.
Here's what I'm going to do, John. I'm going to mark up John to insert section number. How's that sound?
That's what I get for speaking up.
No good deed go unpunished.
Never have true words been spoken.
Will do.
That's rule number one of ICANN. No good deed will go unpunished.
This is Mikey. Right. I've got another suggestion on the sentence. If we're done.
All right, go ahead.
I think what I would do is, at the beginning we say, what are the considerations in? I would substitute implications of expanding verification beyond blah, 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 blah. I think it just reads better.
So do we want to sit there? What are the considerations and or implications of expanding?
No, I really just think that if you said implications of, then when you go to the end of the sentence, you wind up with, what are the implications both in, you know, I think then you also have to say from both implications, from both an implication, an implementation and cost perspective. Considerations just doesn't quite work for me there. It's not a big
deal. Yeah, well, so let me just give you my two cents here, and I'm not passionate on this. I think the word consideration is, I think, more neutral. It's a more neutral word, right? Because when you talk about the considerations, it's, you know, when the use of the word implications, it's like, do you know? I think there's potentially a more negative connotation, at least in reading it. You know, what are the implications of your action? You know, what are the implications of expanding this? And, you know, for all we know, maybe the implications are not that bad. And I think the use of the word considerations is, I think, a more neutral wording. That's my opinion. I guess what I'll do is, let's just go through the list real quick. John, do you have a preference towards consideration or implication?
I agree it's more neutral to use considerations.
All right.
Lynn, I don't really care that much.
All right, well, let's just go through, you know, Lynn. We may have really lost Lynn with her dead battery. Brian, do you have a preference of consideration or implication?
We take a poll on who prefers consideration.
You're bad.
You know, no, what happens is we don't do polls. I have the piece of paper, and I start at the top of the list, and I go to the bottom of the list, and we make a decision. There we go. So do you have a preference towards consideration or implications?
Serious answer. I'm sorry, Mike. Yeah, I prefer consideration.
Okay, excellent. All right, so what we're going to do here is we're going to finish that question, except for John to come back by next week with the section number. We're now moving on to the next page of the document, and we're almost done, fortunately. So this is a two-parter here. In order to determine the potential viability of the HSTLD program within the domain name marketplace, it is critical that prospective registry operators have an idea of the potential cost factors for this verification program. And whoever changed burden from factors, that was a much more neutrally chosen word. Thank you, Craig, for that edit. So then subpart A is, respondents should provide a range of costs in connection with other verifications that they have been involved in. And B, based on these programs, respondents should provide a range of costs that registry operator might incur in connection with the different models identified in Section 2. I like the wording of this and the broad net that we're intending to cast. Mikey, do you have any proposed edits or tweaks?
I have sort of a dumb question, and that is, suppose I'm a registry operator and I get certified or whatever, you know, I become an HSTLD. Is it expected that if registrars are included in the scope that I, the registry, am going to bear those costs? Or do we have to add a clause that says something along the line, based on these programs, respondents should provide a range of costs that registrars might incur and registrants might incur? You see where I'm going with this? Are we expecting the registries to carry all these costs, even if the scope changes?
So what happens is, the excellent point. So that it is critical that prospective registration authorities. How about we use the word, instead of registry operators, let's just use the word registration authorities, paren registries and or registrars.
This is Brian. I agree with Mikey. I think we need to, however, whatever terminology we use, we need to draw those lines.
Okay, and I'm agreeing. I put it this way: I am agreeing with Mikey. I think it's important to make that distinction. What I'm trying to focus now in on, what I'm trying to nail down now or drill down on, is what do I change to address his concern? Because I'm agreeing. I think we're in agreement here. John, would you agree as well? We want to try to drill down on these distinctions on who the burden lies with. Are you in agreement as well?
Yes.
Excellent. So we have consensus of the group that on Mikey's point, we now just need to focus on how to incorporate those changes. So I am all ears and fingers to anyone who is proposing a change.
This is Mikey again. What you could do is copy that second question, the question B,
mm-hmm.
paste it in two more times, and then change the words so that the costs that registrars might incur is the third one, and registrants might incur is the fourth one.
Okay.
So that they get to break it out, you know, then they can break it out themselves. And then at some point, we've got a really interesting question as to whether if I'm a registrar and I certify for HSTLD in one TLD, does that certification carry across to other TLDs, or do I have to recertify in each one? Now, that's beyond the scope of this thing, but that just popped into my head as we were looking at this. If I'm Mike's pretty good registrar and I want to carry four HSTLDs, do I have to certify and incur all those costs four times, or can I only do it once? That makes a big difference to me. And it's, you know, also down to registrants. Now, I don't know.
Okay.
That's a separate discussion, but...
Yeah, I think, and put it this way, I agree that's probably, I think, outside of what we're trying to do with the RFI
right.
now, right?
Yeah.
I think the question you just raised there, Mikey, I think goes to more of sort of what I would call an implementation issue, right?
Yeah.
And that, so I am in agreement that is an issue that we are going to have to address or frame for additional public comment in documentation that we put out before Cartagena. I am in agreement there. For purposes of this document, I don't believe it's fully baked to include in the RFI.
No.
Now, for the group, and so what I've just done, Mikey, I liked your thing. I've duplicated paragraph B into C and D, and I've changed the word registry operator to registrar, and then I've changed it to registrants. Now, what I've also done is instead of in the opening paragraph or the preamble to that section there, instead of saying it is critical that prospective registry operators, I have changed the word registry operators to participants. Because then participants includes B, registry operators, C, registrars, D, registrants. So prospective participants. Any objection to the use of the word participants as an umbrella term to include registries, registrars, and registrants?
Good here.
Okay, Brian, any problems with that change?
Yeah, I think that works.
John?
I'm good with that.
Okay, so just a quick little a little time check here. We got 5 minutes left, and we really only got like three or four questions left here. If we could go a little, what I would propose to do is if we can maybe roll maybe 5 or 10 minutes afterwards, because most of the disclaimer language, you know, John, you know, maybe us as lawyers we could tweak it, but I think this is more for ICANN to feel what they're comfortable with. Craig, can you confirm that Amy or Dan or somebody in legal has looked at this, or they will look at it in the future?
They're going to look at it tomorrow.
Excellent. So what happens is we will look forward for those edits. So what we have in the next, say, 10 to 15 minutes, and for those that could spare an extra 10, I would appreciate it, is getting through these four questions and then just turning to Mikey's potential inserts. So,
Michael, this is John. Can I interrupt?
You have a hard stop.
Can I ask to put looking at question 4 and 5 on that agenda real quick before we let people go? I've just noticed one thing while I was looking at it. So,
all right, we will throw it in reverse. And was this the old question 4 and 5? I could you start reading the question and then I'll.
But the question is section 3.2.1 from the model. I was trying to do some of my homework multitasking here. I think that might be a miscite. I think it might need to be section 3.1.1.
Okay. Okay. So if somebody else could – so here's what I'm saying. Could you double-check that, John, as part of your other stuff? And if that's the case, we'll just make that – if it's a typo or a miscite, I don't think there'd be any problems with that. I just want to try to use the last, say, 10 minutes here to see if we could just plow through these last couple of questions to get this in a more final baked.
I'll shoot it. Yeah, I mean, I'll shoot it out to the list. It goes to my homework assignment, so I'll shoot it out to the list.
I'd appreciate that. And as I said, I just want to try to get through the whole document as originally planned, and again, I will look at that site that you give to make sure that everything syncs up. So the next question that we're moving on to is, are there any control elements that should be removed or amended? If so, which ones and why? I think that's a good question. No objections. Next one, are there any control elements based upon your experience have not been included? If so, which ones and why? Which ones and why? So does anybody have a problem with including those two questions? I think that's just showing that we're human and we may have made a mistake by putting something in or excluding something. So, Mikey, any problem to the inclusion of those two questions?
No, good here.
John?
I'm good.
Brian?
Good.
Excellent. All right, so now we have two last questions here. What are the projected timelines for developing and implementing the HSTLD program? I think that's a reasonable question that we need to know. Any comments? All right, nothing. That will stay. Now, the last question we have here is the HSTLD Advisory Group is particularly interested in hearing from respondents on their experience about the potential pros and cons associated with each of these models, e.e. certification, trust mark, scorecard. Now, this was meant originally, Mikey, to be kind of the broad cast net that I was trying to address with some of your concerns. Obviously, you came up with your own supplemental. So do you have a problem with this wording? Would you like to change it, edit it, substitute something of your own? I'd like to begin with you, I'll give you the floor to address your concerns on this question.
I think this one's pretty good. It's close to my first one. I like mine a little better because it creates a bigger bottomless pit for them to fall into. Because I say, please compare the features, and then parenthetically, and describe pros and cons of certificates, trust marks, scorecards, and other approaches to identifying and promoting high-security TLDs. But, you know, this question 10 is saying, what's your experience? I would like them to give us, you know, give them a bit broader field to shoot at and say, well, why don't you tell us your opinions about pros and cons, et cetera. But, you know, this one's close enough for government work if people feel strongly.
Well, again, what I was trying to do, I guess what I was trying to do with this question, and Craig, I know you. There was a little exchange between you and Mike on this issue. I think, you know, you were concerned about some of the questions potentially being leading here. I was trying to be very neutral. We're particularly interested in hearing on their experience, and then and when I talk about experience, I went further to give that sort of compare and contrast on the pros and cons. So, Craig, based upon what Mikey was saying, do you have any problems with this, or do you, I'd like to hear your comments.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with the way it's written now. I'd have to go back to look at that original email, but it just seemed like there was some wording
wording that this is wording that I put in last week. I have not included the Mikey wording. This is not Mikey's proposed text that you were disagreeing with.
Okay, hold on one sec.
So what happens is, here's just a quick time check here. It is now 1:32. So we 1 hour into the call, we have now gotten through the document except for the legal disclaimers. What we're now going to do, in hopefully this last 10 minutes, is to go back, and if people can pull up the email exchange between Craig and Mikey that happened earlier, I think, this week, that would be helpful. And then we could sit there and just look at what questions to include or not include. Brian, when did you, could you give us the date of your email to make it easier to...
Yeah, I sent the email, you met Mikey, I knew that. I sent the email on September 2nd. At 11:27 Eastern.
And then Craig responded
on the 3rd, almost exactly 1 day later, again at 11:26. So that's the thread. You came in right behind it.
So let me go in here and get to that thread so that we could just touch there. All right, the 3rd, Craig.
Yeah, it's really Craig's note that's the key one, I think. It's September 3rd, 11:26 Eastern.
Yeah, it came from HSTLD on behalf of Craig Schwartz, so it's probably going to be from HSTLD, not from my name.
Here are a few points. Okay. Please see my comments in line to your note. Okay, so here we go. I was able to find it on 11:26 on the 3rd. So, Mikey, you've raised your original questions now. I'm looking at your first. You raised three questions. And the first one says, please compare features, describe pros and cons of certs, trustmark, scorecards, and other approaches.
I think your version's pretty close, Michael. I don't think we need to beat that one.
Okay, so excellent. So we'll strike that, and now we have two more potential questions. So your next one here says, please describe any problems or issues you see with this approach we are taking to identifying and promoting a high security zone or high security TLD. And then, Craig, you interjected that you thought it was a little leading. Would it be better to say, please describe any any problems or, I mean, the word use of the words problems or issues.
Well, you know, that's really my intent. My intent is here's a pro. They're sitting there at their desk. They're responding to this RFI. And they're being good scouts. They're saying, we're responding. But all the time, they're sitting there at their desk saying, these guys have missed this. They have this giant gaping hole. They're making a huge mistake, but I've got no place to put that in my commentary. That's what I want to provide.
But don't in the question above, we said, are there any control elements that should be removed or amended, or are there any that should be included? So we're kind of giving them in the questions above, I think it was old 7 and old 8, we're basically giving them the options. Did we mess up by including something that we shouldn't, or did we mess up by forgetting to include something that we should have? So to me, I think those two questions actually gave the ability for a respondent to opine and say, guys, you really dropped the ball on this area because you either included something or forgot to. That's my gut.
Well, and questions 2 and 3 also give the same leeway when you say, how would you propose? I mean, it gives them the opportunity to tell us how they might do something differently other than perhaps what we've outlined.
Yeah, and again, you know, this is basically coming from my underlying skepticism about the whole shebang.
Well, that's clear.
You know, and what I'm trying to do is give the experts a chance to have that same underlying misgiving and not have to sandwich it in to our pre-existing structure, but rather to say, well, I'd like to go up to 50,000 feet, folks, and tell you that although you could do all these things with these little tweaks and these little adds and these little subtractions, I have to tell you that as a big-time security consultant type pro type person, I wouldn't approach it this way at all. Or I don't think this is going to work at all. That's what I'm trying to do, is give them a chance to step outside the framework that we've already built rather than editing it and just say, you know, I got a big problem with the way you're tackling this altogether.
Okay, so let me interject here for a second. I appreciate the skepticism you've had historical that you've had, and I think it has been very constructive in steering the debate, Mikey. I do, though, however, kind of have I think after rereading this, I kind of do share some of Craig's concerns about the potential non-neutral language, and I think what we've tried to do here is be as neutral as possible. So in an attempt to compromise what I think you want as kind of a sort of catch-all or something where someone could opine, is can we just perhaps use a question, is there anything, you know, please provide any comments that you feel are relevant that have not been provided for in the above set of questions. How's that sound? And then it's neutral. And if they want to tell us we're an idiot, they could tell us we're an idiot outside the framework of every other question.
Yeah, but they never will. I mean, the thing is, if you do it that way, then they're just going to be good doobies, and they're going to try and You know, I mean, anybody responding to RFI is going to be trying to tee up the job. They're going to be trying to bid on the job. They're not going to tell us we're full of shit.
Well, but what happens, though, here, Mike, is because this is going out as an RFI, we don't necessarily – we're providing mechanisms for people that aren't trying to, you know – shall we say, win the RFP. We could have a group that could come in. Let's just suppose there's a security group that sits there and says, look, you guys have your head up your ass. You have no idea what the hell you're doing. I mean, in that situation, fine. Let them come in and tell us what we've done wrong. I think we're open to that. Where I have some skepticism is you're saying the only way we'll get a truthful response is by potentially having a leading question saying where are our I guess I have an issue with that, and I kind of more appreciate Craig's original comments and think that the proposed solution of, you know, here's a catch-all, you know, please provide any other comments or considerations the respondent may have that have not been addressed, that have not been able to be addressed in the aforementioned questions, something along those lines.
Well, I mean, I'm willing to go along with that, but I'll do it under protest, because I think what we've done we've taken this sort of Pollyannish view that our approach is right, and we haven't really discussed ever whether it is or not. And so I just wanted to be on the record that, you know, although I'm a good scout and I help you edit this thing, I think the whole thing is completely wrong. And I think that if we don't ask the experts explicitly for that kind of point of view, we won't get it. So that's fine. And then I'll stand up in the next public meeting and say, there's still no there.
Okay. So what happens here? What I want to do is, here's my proposal is I want to go through on this final point and I want to give everyone a comment here, and I think after that we may want to wrap up, and then Mikey, what we'll do here is I think we'll sort of sleep on this, and this will be one of the first issues we kind of put to bed next week, because I think we are really close to having a pretty good polished document here. So what I want to do is I've spoken, Mikey's spoken, Craig, you've spoken, Lynn, John, and Brian. John, your comments on this issue.
I just think in general a leading question suggesting negative issues or negative components to be brought out at an RFI stage is probably not necessary, that we have other opportunities. And, I understand where Mikey's coming from in terms of doubts, but I think at a high enough level, we all have to be committed that there, the idea of protecting or certifying security in the new TLD zone is a laudable one. I think the difficulties should be ferreted out, and the purpose is to be ferreted out with the detail surrounding this request for information. So I'm good the way it currently reads.
Okay. Brian?
I'm going to weigh in very strongly with Mikey's concerns. I know I haven't been active as of late, but in the earlier phase when I was, I noted my own personal concerns about, back at the beginning of this, of a one-size-fits-all approach to this type of program and other concerns about how it was being constructed. I firmly agree with Mikey and his concerns. I understand the concern about a leading question, but I'm wondering if, with all the, folks who have a good handle of English here, that something couldn't be constructed. Are there any considerations that might threaten the viability of this program? Is there a way we can construct something that isn't clearly a leading question that's trying to capture a criticism, but that opens the door to getting the types of inputs? Because I think there are some fundamental questions.
Okay,
Dave,
so
a suggestion of wording.
Okay, Dave. Yes, please.
It seems that if I were going through this and I were responding to it, and you know, I'm the kind of person who's not, you know, obviously you all know me, who's not going to respond to something just to get a job or just to, you know, just to pay a bill. I'm going to say I don't want to do that because I don't think that there's any merit to it. So if I had a question at the end of this RFI that said, you know, please conclude your RFI with a general comment, you know, and your general perspective on the viability of the program, and that leaves open, in a, I think, a neutral manner, the opportunity for somebody to say it's broken or it's not quite broken, but it, you know, it could be better.
So Dave, I like your approach. I also like what I heard from Brian on his proposed wording. So I circling back then to you, Mikey, with what has been proposed by Brian and Dave on that type of what I would call open-ended question, would that address your – are we getting towards addressing your concern? Along the lines of
absolutely.
Brian and Dave.
I mean, I have no, I'm not married to the leading part. That's just the way I do things. But, you know, I think Brian and Dave are on the right track, and I'd be comfortable with something like that.
Okay. So perhaps, Brian, I know you have a lot of work with your ART review stuff. So if you could perhaps maybe jot some, give me some of your ideas, and then what I will try to do is try to sync up with Dave and with Mikey to come up with proposed text for inclusion and consideration next weekend. So that is an action item on my behalf. To sync up with Brian, myself, Mikey, and Dave to come up with suitable language for consideration by the group. Basically, I think we're now at, we've now around 15 minutes over, but we've now gone through the whole document. I will be, the changes that we agreed to, I will be providing a clean copy to the group for consideration with the, I guess, the one or two inserts for John and myself where we need to do some text. But I'd like to thank everybody. We're staying the course. We're on time, which is good. I will get this document out within the next, very shortly after this call ends. And we'll bake it for a week. And during next week's call, we will just address these last one or two outstanding items and put it in the final format and let staff put it out. So that I'd like to thank everybody for their contributions. And as usual, just start at the top of the list and go down to see whether there's any closing comments or thoughts. Mikey, you got the floor.
I got nothing more. Thanks, guys.
Excellent. We got Lynn. Is Lynn on or is she off?
No, she's disconnected.
Email saying no, can't get on.
Oh, okay. John?
No, I'm good. I'm working on an email with respect to that
this
number
section.
4 and 5, yeah.
Excellent. Thank you very much for picking up that miscite there. Brian?
Nothing more. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Craig?
Not for me, thank you.
Dave?
I'm good. I'm just typing in the language for that last question.
Excellent. So, again, thank you, everyone, for the call and particularly the extra 15 minutes that really let us wrap things up. I don't think next week's call should be that complicated, so hopefully it will be a short one next week. Thanks again, everyone. Talk to you next. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye.